Let me actually play you the jingle so you can hear it.
Powered by SID Media.
We're going to be going now into the social corner, and we'll be joined on the line just now by Lawrence Bowell, who is a property investor. So Lawrence Bowell is a property investor, a coach, an author. He authored two books that he penned, and then he also has got several articles. The books that he has are Financial Freedom Through Property and also A Millionaire in the Making. And we just want to say to him, thank you and for joining us. Good morning, Laurie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. How are you?
No, all right. Thank you so much. We just want to appreciate you for joining us here on Adventist World Radio this morning.
Awesome, man. I'm glad to be on the show and excited to talk about, you know, the updates to the property market and how this whole inflation story is going to have a massive impact.
Yeah, we really need that. You know, that's actually what we're focusing on this week. You know, when you look at it, shelter is a basic human need. In fact, crucial for survival. It provides security, personal safety, protection from the weather, and prevents ill health and disease. Adequate housing provides people with dignity and an opportunity to lead a normal life. So when you look at it, like you're saying, yesterday we covered the repo rate, and we learned from Lara that actually it's inflation that affects the repo rate. What is inflation all about, and how does it get to do that?
Yeah, so that's a great question, right? Mm-hmm. So inflation is the inevitable rise of goods and services.
Okay.
So if you think about the Reserve Bank, they are essentially in control of monetary policy. So they can either increase interest rates or decrease interest rates if they want to either stimulate the economy or if they want to curb inflation. So what happened 2-3 years ago when COVID hit is we saw a massive drop in our economic output. So what the Reserve Bank did is they dropped our interest rates by 2-2.5%.
Okay.
That was to incentivize more people to take credits, more people to start buying, purchasing goods and services, to buy properties, to take out loans, to use credit card debt because it was cheaper. And what that ended up doing was creating growth, which is what the Reserve Bank wants, and that's what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because COVID took away so much economic growth, they had to stimulate the economy.
Okay.
But by doing so, they have now pushed the prices of everything to go up because more people have money, more people are buying bread, milk, or buying cars, or buying properties, meaning everything is now growing in value because when there's not endless resources. So now we're in a situation where there was too much growth. Now inflation is high, meaning the Reserve Bank has to increase interest rates to start to pull back the spend.
So that's basically what inflation is in a nutshell and how it affects us.
Yeah, it's an interesting balance, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Reserve Bank wants growth, but as you get more growth, you get more inflation. So they have to constantly play with the interest rate, either decrease it to stimulate growth or increase it to curb inflation so that, you know, so that we can continue to afford things.
Okay.
Otherwise,
okay.
You know, you can have endless growth and then you have endless inflation and no one can afford to buy bread anymore.
So if that's what you're saying, that the government did this, the Reserve Bank in effect, to try and stimulate this growth, are we then expecting it to go down anytime soon?
The interest rate or inflation?
Inflation per se.
Yes. Inflation should be curbed. I don't know if what they've done recently, the 0.75, that's going to be sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the highest rate of inflation that we have seen in I can't remember in how many years. I think it's 5 to 10 years.
Jeez.
So I think there's still another 1 or 2 rate hikes that should be expected in the next 6 to 12 months, and then we should be in a position where inflation is good.
So are you saying that the higher then the interest rates and the property, the repo rates go up, then that somehow then affects the interest rate, the inflation rather, to go down?
Correct. Correct, because the higher interest rates mean less people will take out loans, less people will buy. An economy grows through spending. So the more spending that occurs, the bigger an economy is. By reducing interest rates, you're encouraging people to spend because credit is cheap.
Yes.
Increasing the interest rate means people are now less or hesitant to use credit to buy, meaning we're going to have less stimulus in the market and the economy, and things will start to normalize. What you also have to note is that we've had massive geopolitical events that have happened.
Yes, that's
the war in Russia means oil is expensive and everything relies on oil to drive food trucks from one place to the next. So that increases inflation. Then we also have Ukraine, one of the biggest food providers, is not providing as much food anymore. So you've got these geopolitical events that are also causing this inflation story.
Mm. And how is this all affecting the property market then, when you're looking at all this up and down? It almost looks like a seesaw. You know, this side goes up, this side goes down. How does this affect the property market?
The main thing that's going to happen now is just an increase in repo means that the prime lending rate goes up. Mm-hmm. So all of the end consumers, all the people with bonds, be it car loans, credit card loans, home loans, whatever it is, are going to feel a pinch because everything is going to go up. So what I think is going to happen, I think there's going to be a lot of distressed sellers coming into the market, a lot of people who bought when credit was cheap, thinking it was going to be cheap forever. Mm. And now there's been increases, so they're struggling to pay their bonds. And they're going to end up selling the property for less than they bought it for. So I think for those people who have been clever with their cash and are sitting on some cash reserves now, to get into the property market now is a really good time because we're going to have a lot of motivated sellers.
Okay, just maybe while we're on that one, can you just maybe explain a bit what they usually term the buyer's market or the seller's market? What does that mean, and which one is this one now? Where we at?
Yeah. So. Either buyer or seller's market is telling you who's got the upper edge, the upper hand in the economy. Mm-hmm. So a buyer's market means there's a lot of distressed sellers, and the buyers have a little bit more leeway to negotiating. A seller's market is when there's a tremendous growth, there's a lot of opportunity, there's a lot of people looking to buy. Then you're in a seller's market, which means the sellers can charge premium prices for their property.
They stand to benefit.
Correct. So we were, you know, I would say we're probably edging into a buyer's market, especially those who are willing and have the cash reserves to get involved. Interest is not actually that expensive. To be honest, the interest rate pre-COVID was 10.5.
Okay.
We're still below where we were before the
COVID
pandemic.
That's true.
So credit is still cheap, technically, but what most people see is they're like, oh, damn, it's getting more and more expensive now, and they're starting to panic.
So tell me, if that's the case then, because here's my mind was thinking, the best time to buy is when the interest rate is very low and you know that you can really afford your bond. But you're saying that, no, actually when the repo rate is a bit high and people are selling, that's the best time. Because one would then say, okay, is that the best time? Put a hefty deposit, then you know you're going to bring your bond price down. Or rather wait for the market to settle down a bit and then you know you're going to go in there with a better pricing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm buying in every market. I'm buying every year, whether it's a seller's market or buyer's market.
Okay.
You know, I focus on my two core philosophies are buy at a discount and make sure it's cash flow positive from day one. So buying at a discount means I'll buy 20, 30% below the market value, which means if there's an increase in interest rates or there's a change in the market, I'm already protected because I bought my profit up front. And the second one is that I only buy properties where the rent is greater than all the monthly expenses, so I'm left with a monthly surplus. And I bake in, I always work on a 10.5 interest rate, so I bake in the risk that the interest rate will go up. So I think if you're doing your due diligence, you're buying in the right areas, you're running the numbers, and you're good with managing and saving capital, I think it's always a good time to be a buyer. Right now, I think it's an especially good time to be a buyer.
You were mentioning about how you then kind of cushion yourself with that added interest that you put on top. But the question is always sometimes variable or fixed interest rate, which one is the way to go there? And is it guaranteed just because I said fixed, that means for the next 20 years I'm only paying that amount that we agreed in the beginning?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So variable obviously means that as the interest rate fluctuates, as the repo rate goes up and down, your interest rate, your prime lending rate at the bank goes up and down. Whereas fixed, if I say to the bank now, I want to fix my interest rate at 9%, if the repo rate goes down or up, mine stays at 9%. So it's a good question. I think if you were looking to fix your interest rates, you probably missed your timing. I would have done it a year and a half ago when we were sitting at 7.25. There still may be an opportunity to fix it now. I think we're probably gonna balance out at about 9.5 to 10. I think that's probably, from historical data, that's where we're gonna probably end up. So if you want to, you can fix it now. It's quite a simple process. You speak to the bank, they'll probably get you to sign some contracts, and then they fix it for a period of time. They probably fix it for the full 20-year period or the remaining period of your loan.
Okay. But which one would you then advise, rather, that people, you know what, rather stick to the variable one because you benefit when it goes down and all those, or which one would be better?
Yeah, if you asked me this a year ago, I would have said fix it now, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I see inflation as a problem, mm-hmm. but I also think that that's sparked on because of the war in Russia and everything happening in Ukraine. I think once that settles down, we might be in a position where the Reserve Bank wants to decrease interest rates again and maybe go back to 8.5 to stimulate more growth, because our GDP isn't looking fantastic.
So
I don't know. I would say if you're a conservative investor, maybe time to fix it and get the benefit. If you're a bit more aggressive and you want to be a bit more of a risk taker, keep it variable.
Then keep it variable, rather. Okay. What can then investors do to protect those already in the market? What can they do to protect their investment at this, with the way things are just going up and down? I mean, I was talking to Lara, like I said earlier on, and she was saying, okay, we've had about 2-3 increases of the repo rate currently this year. I think July was the third one, and we're still expecting more in the rest of this year alone, not even talking about the future. So what can then these investors say, hey, I want to just solidify my investment. How do they do that?
The best advice I can give is to go to the bank and arrange an access bond facility, which means that you can access, you know, if you pay more into your bond, you can access it at a later stage.
All right.
And then I would say put as much cash reserves as you have into your bond.
Mm.
Because right now, the stock market is in shambles. There's high risk and high volatility everywhere. And bonds are actually a safe place to get a good 9% return, if you think about it. You're spending 9% interest on your bond.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pay more money into your bond, you're effectively receiving a 9% interest.
Yes.
Because instead of spending the 9%, you're getting it back.
Okay.
So as long as you've got that access facility, which means you can access it at any time, should another good investment opportunity come back,
mm-hmm.
put some money into your bond, reduce your monthly debt burden, and just get into a bit of a comfortable state, because it's not going to go away. We're not going to see a massive decrease in interest rates in the short term.
Okay.
So, yeah, that would be my best advice.
No, I think that's quite something very sound right there. If you tuned in, we are in conversation right here on Mid-Morning Empowerment with Lawrence Ball. Is that how you pronounce it, Lawrence?
Bull, like the animal.
Okay, so it's Lawrence Bull. All right. And he's talking to us all things inflation regarding the property market as well. And we say join in the conversation. The number to connect with us in studio is +27 73 470 3520. And you can send your WhatsApp or your voice note or anything on that number, and we'll be able to just hear your comments and your questions. When we then look at this, Lawrence, what can we expect inflation? Like you said, it might not be soon, but will it taper down maybe going in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the intention of the interest rates increase, mm-hmm. right, is to taper that down. I think history has shown us that increasing or tightening monetary policy leads mm-hmm. to lower levels of inflation. I really think it's the war in Ukraine, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably the most uncertain element of the inflation thing. What we as South Africans and what the Reserve Bank of South Africa can do, mm-hmm. they've done.
Mm.
We can't really influence how the petrol price is going to change because of our lack of control over the Russia war. Yeah.
Mm. So then, as maybe those who are local and looking to go into property and those who are there, what would be maybe then your parting advice to them to say, hey guys, just consider this and to do that?
So I think the best advice I've ever received is to always save or have 3 to 6 months worth of savings available. This is not just a property thing. This is a life thing. Whatever business you have, your personal name or a property business, have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses, mm-hmm. of monthly operating expenses saved up.
All right.
Because in the event that, you know, your tenant doesn't pay, or mm-hmm. you have to do maintenance, or, you know, your interest rate goes up and your bond expenses are much higher than you expected,
mm-hmm.
you've got now 3 to 6 months worth of runway. A buffer. This is great for your personal name as well. Let's say you lose your job, but you've got 3 to 6 months worth of savings,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to desperately find the next employment. You can protect your time and find the right place for you. So 3 to 6 months worth of savings is such a good financial principle just to keep you secure during uncertain times.
Okay. I think that is sound advice coming in there from the property coach and author, Lawrence Bull. And we really appreciate your time right here on Adventist World Radio. Thank you, eh?
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Okay, then have a good one. Wow, what an awesome time we had. You're just discussing the property markets and how they're really affected by the inflation rate and in turn the repo rate. And we just want to say appreciations to Lawrence and how he just assisted us this morning. Just thank you again to you, the listener, to just be here and to just be part of that conversation. Obviously, this one will also be available as a podcast, and we just want to say be on the lookout for that one. And you can also just send us an email or a message in studio to just say, I want that podcast, I missed it, or hey, in fact, I know somebody will be able to benefit from that one. I wasn't available, or they were not available to be listening right on time. So definitely, we'll be willing to be sharing that one with you right here on Adventist World Radio.
AWR. Powered by SID Media.